Very good. We're going to go ahead and stand, and we want to read out of Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, I felt that, we will continue our study through the Bible, looking at one book every Wednesday night. But right now, just kind of in the summer time frame, and it may extend a little bit further, felt it was important to take a look at what the book of Revelation has to say to us, what God has to say to us, especially in the days in which we live. So in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent it and signified it by his angel and to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw." Verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you left this letter for us. Certainly it was for the Apostle John. Certainly it was for the churches, but certainly it is for us as well. Open up our hearts, Lord, that through this time tonight and our study in Revelation, we would be more in love with Jesus. The revelation of who he is would change our life in ways we've yet to experience. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have to start with an opening illustration, and it's one that other pastors have used. I've used it. You've probably heard it before. But as this young man was growing up and going through the seminary, training to be a pastor, he was so excited. He finally graduated. He had the opportunity to speak at his first church. It was a rather large gathering, and he was teaching from the book of Revelation, from this particular chapter. When he was being trained in the seminary in terms of speaking, they said sometimes when you're up speaking, you may all of a sudden lose your point of reference. It just may leave you. You don't know where you're at. You kind of freeze at that point. So the instructor, the professor, said, if it ever comes to that, just repeat your theme and it will come back to you. So this young man, after worship, got up. He was introduced. First message he's going to give. He's so excited. Of course, the title is, from Revelation, "Behold, I Come Quickly." So as he read the scripture and as he began to speak, just in the very beginning, he went blank. And then he remembered what the professor said. Repeat what your theme is. And he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And there were some people sitting in the front row, elderly people, others that were there. And as he pulled back, he figured the content of the message would just come upon him. But it did not. So he stepped up again, blank in his mind, but repeated the theme, but a little bit louder. "Behold, I come quickly." He pulled back thinking, okay, now it's coming to me. It did not come. So the third time he moves back up to the podium, but this time he's saying it stronger and with greater zeal and enthusiasm, hoping it will happen. And he comes back up and he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And when he went like that, he took this podium, it flipped over and it went right in the lap of the elderly man sitting in the front row. He was so overwhelmed and so embarrassed. He went down to this poor fellow and just so apologetically, "Sir, I'm so sorry." And the man quickly said, "Stop, stop, stop. You warned me three times you were coming." You might remember that one. So when we're looking at this, another point to make in the very beginning, and it's pointed out by others, and I've mispronounced this before, so I've said before, the book of Revelations in a plural way, but it's just the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we see that, when we think of revelation, all of a sudden our mind goes and says, you know, you might be sitting in your seat and thinking, are you going to tell us who the Antichrist is tonight? And what about 666 and how does that work? And what about the tribulation? And certainly those are aspects that are talked about in the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Many times when a car dealer has a new car that's coming out, they kind of are very secretive about that. I mean, Apple is one of the most secretive companies. They hold things tight. But we'll use the illustration of an automobile dealer because it works good for this particular point. So you know they have a new car coming out. They're known to make some pretty cool new cars. And they kind of just, you know, whet the appetite a little bit. But the car is absolutely covered up. It's at the show. And they're going to say, you know what, we're going to reveal to you our new product. And then they're going to remove the covering over the car. And there it is. So in a sense, the book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. We've come to know Jesus Christ through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We were there with him as we studied each of those Gospels. We're in the book of Acts right now. But we saw the way Jesus loved people and ministered to people. As a matter of fact, we're in this book of Revelation. But if you just turned a few pages over to the left, you'll see 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But in 1st John, it's worth noting. And also, John is the apostle. So the apostle John, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist died during Jesus' ministry. So it's John the apostle. John the apostle wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then he also wrote the book of Revelation. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit using, but he's the one that wrote this book. Now, for me, in my teaching on Revelation, I believe that he's in his 90s. Now, there's discrepancy within the body of Christ. Some people would think that the book of Revelation was completed, in other words, before the details of it was before 70 AD, which is when the temple was taken and destroyed in 70 AD. I have a different view. I believe that the book of Revelation is a futuristic view of what's going to happen in this world. It hasn't taken place yet. Some things have, but it's speaking about the last days. In 1 John, where you're there right now, and in chapter 1 of 1 John, and in verse 1 of 1 John, again, the same apostle writing Revelation, but for a wonderful reference point, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." That's concerning Jesus. "The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifest to us. That which we have seen and we heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John the Apostle is saying, look, look, Jesus was real. He literally was with us. We heard Him. We saw Him. We touched Him. This apostle was the one who had his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. It's this apostle. We saw Him. We heard Him. He spoke to us, and then He died on a cross, and we didn't know what would happen. We had no idea what would happen. I went to the tomb with Peter. The tomb was empty. He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead. He showed Himself alive. Is this the time? Is this the time for the kingdom to come? And Jesus says, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, I have work for you to do. I'm leaving to go to heaven. No, don't go. I'm going. But I am not going to leave you helpless or hopeless, because the Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you and in you. I'll be with you always. I'll be at the right hand of the Father, but the Spirit of God will be with you. He left to heaven, and the angels say, go and wait. And in Acts, we know they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what a glorious day, the day of Pentecost, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the reality. Christ is alive, and 3,000 people come to faith, and thousands more in the coming days. And we go through the book of Acts, in the book of Acts that we're in, it really lasted about a record of about 30 years in its record given to us. And it concludes in the 60s, but we're in the 90s AD. This helps me out. We're in the 90s. It's been 60 years since Christ has risen from the dead. 60 years. And John is seen or aware of Peter being executed, Paul being executed, James being executed. All of these apostles died martyrs' death, and they tried to kill John as well. It didn't work. And here he is, banished on the island of Patmos, still having faith in God. And all of a sudden, the revelation of Jesus to him. 60 years. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. And Jesus says, I have something for you to write. I have something to give to you. I'm going to communicate to you. It's a revelation of myself. I've never left you. And my plans for this world are still intact. And it's a message that's for the church. And there's seven churches, John, that this word has to get to. Paul planted these churches. They're in existence. They're literal churches. But I got a word for the church. I got a message for the church. It's going to be recorded here. We're going to see it in chapters 2 and 3. But the message for those churches in that first century is a message for our church today. I find nothing in the message to those seven churches that this church also today here, Calvary Chapel Northwest, we need to take heed to what Jesus said to those churches. But wait, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Because what was written to those seven churches in that first century, what was written for all churches for all time, including us today, it was also written for me as well. I can just go to the church at Ephesus and says, your heart and love for Jesus has grown cold. Yes, Pastor, you're holding fast to the word of God, but you left your first love. You've been busy about work, but not busy about being in love with Jesus. Repent, Pastor. Return back to the sweetness of just your fellowship with Jesus. And so we see this. There's an author who wrote kind of a comparison about Genesis and Revelation. And they're quick little bullet points. Stay with me. I think you'll be encouraged. So Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Revelation is the last book. So the bookends of the Bible. So in Genesis, the earth was created. In Revelation, the earth passes away. In Genesis, Satan's first rebellion, the serpent, God's walk with man is interrupted. Man is driven from the presence of God in Genesis. In Revelation, it's Satan's last rebellion. It's the Lamb, and God walks with man. It's resumed, and we'll see him face to face. The third, in Genesis, the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth's government. And in Revelation, it'll be the earth's judgment. The sun was there to govern the day in Genesis. But in Revelation, it's clear there's no need of the sun. Jesus is the light of the world. Also, just looking at these comparisons, darkness was called night. There's no night in Revelation. In Genesis, the water was called sea. There's no more seas in Revelation. For you surfers, too bad. In Genesis, sin enters. Revelation, there's an exit of sin. Cursed is pronounced in Genesis. Cursed is removed. Also, Genesis was the beginning of sorrow and suffering. But in Revelation, there's no more sorrow. And there's no more tears. He wipes them all away from us. The first paradise is closed in Genesis. The new paradise is open in Revelation. We'll get to see all that. But we go back to our text that we read. We read just the first few verses of Revelation chapter 1. Back in Revelation chapter 1, as John is receiving this message, and we look at it, and it says of Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 1, God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. This is a message. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ, this message is for you. It's for us. Verse 2, he bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw, and how important the word of God is. And I will continue to emphasize, I send out the word of God every day. Every day. I checked earlier this morning, so 250 went out in the morning, but around 11 o'clock, only 40 were opened up. So I'm just saying in an exhortive way, God's word's going out. I'm doing my part on that, and we can have all, I'm not sure what's up or where people are at. I know there's other things, but listen, if we create our own personal famine regarding God's word, we're going to be in big trouble. We need his word. We need his word. We cannot survive without his word. As much as we want to have that coffee in the morning and the breakfast in the morning, but there should be that sense of urgency to have his word every day. Because it is a game changer. On Sunday, I've been studying and preparing because, be over with the kids for a little bit, so just try to get a jump on it. But in chapter 19 of Acts, I found it very interesting. Because the Holy Spirit of God is really given and poured out on these believers. It's an experience they never had. They were lacking something. But in the same chapter, in the very same chapter, there's a false spirit, a demonic spirit. A demonic spirit that attacks people that are thinking they're calling upon the living God for help. It's a false spirit. It's a demonic spirit. And I find it very interesting, and I'm pondering this thought for Sunday's message. But the thought is this. We don't realize the reality of a Christian commitment in marriage until we get engaged or we get married. And then all of a sudden, there's these aspects of our life that we never knew anything about. Well, my friends, we're in a battle. We're in a warfare. Because we said that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Satan takes you at that. He says, all right, the challenge is on. I'm coming after you. And then we have our first child, our second, our third, or whatever. And again, these children are made in the image of God. And Satan hates that. And you're going to raise them in the ways of God. Satan hates that. He's after us. And until we realize I cannot be on cruise control in the spiritual life, I'm a target, I'm game. And the more we step out, the more it comes. And the more we need the Lord. So we're getting back here. And he's saying to John, here's the word for you. And then the beautiful verse 3. Blessed. Blessed is he who reads. So it's been pointed out by Bible teachers that this may be the only book that specifically states the sense of blessing on this book. I believe it applies to the whole Bible, but it's right here in Revelation. But it says that there's a blessing if you read this, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and those who keep those things that are written in it, for a time is near. If I had a chance to meet with all the pastors in Whatcom County, I would certainly be blessed, I'd be encouraged, hopefully I'd be humbled. But I would bring this word to the body of pastors that bring God's word. I will say, why have you never brought and taught Revelation to your people? You have kept them from receiving a blessing of God. A blessing. Well, I'm not sure, how to teach that. Well, then just read it. Because there's a blessing when you read it. But certainly you want to teach it. And the enemy the enemy has twisted the thinking of pastors. Why can't teach that book? It's too confusing. Brothers and sisters, it's God's word, and it is to be taught, and we should hear it, and not only hear it, it's just like, I want to keep it. I want to keep it. I'm reading this, and it's just like, man, I can't wait to read the next thing or what God has. I want to hear it. I want to do it. I believe it. I believe that our fellowship is just becoming more and more convinced and committed to Christ and to his word than ever before. Because I know that that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the opposition more than I've ever felt before. I'm feeling the realities of the weightiness of this world. I need Christ. I need his word. Verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So there's literally seven churches. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who's to come, and the seven spirits who are before his throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn over the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us, verse 6, kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So much in just a few verses. Grace, peace. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we have peace with God. We have grace of God and the peace of God. Paul uses that in most of his letters. We're familiar with that. Speaks about Jesus, who is, who was, who is to come. He always existed. He's the eternal God. By the way, at this point, if we could just quickly look at verse 19 of chapter 1 of Revelation. In chapter 1 of Revelation, in verse 19, it says, write the things which you have seen. So that would apply to chapter 1. And the things which are. Chapters 2 and 3 are speaking about the churches and the letter to the churches. Chapters 4 and 5 speaks about what's going on into heaven. And the things which are, which will take place after this, you'll find the tribulation spoken about in chapter 6, moving all the way to the end of the book, to the future. That's there. Some people have said verse 19 is a divine outline for the whole book of Revelation. It's thoughtful. I like that thought. But back to what we're looking at, speaking about Jesus Christ, he's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead. In other words, he conquered death. He is going to be the ruler over everything. And everyone. If you haven't been paying attention to the news that's going on in the world, you like me, I am hungry for this kind of leader. I am hungry for somebody to rule and reign in righteousness and just say, this is it. And you know, that's the truth. Because it's the one who was, who is to come. He's speaking it. He's going to reign and rule in righteousness. It's going to happen. And regardless about your personal opinion regarding the days in which we live, you know something? These days, these years, it's caused me to be stronger as a believer in Jesus. It's caused me to be stronger as a believer. I need to know God's word. We see some pretty sad things happening right now. We see brothers and sisters in the faith being killed. I don't know if you're paying attention to what's going on in northern Iraq, but they're being run out. Some of these people have been there since the time of Christ. These Christians have been there since then. Everything's being taken from them. That's what's reported. It's tough. But when we look at this, and we see he loved us, and he washed us from our sin in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Just what he's called us to be. If you think about that. The idea of he's made us a king, what does that mean? Well, a king implies royalty. And that's the family we're in. We're in a royal family. We're in the family of God. All the riches in Christ Jesus are ours. We're joint heirs with Christ. Not only that, but a priest had such an important part. When I was a young boy growing up, I wanted to be a priest. I yearned to do that. That's what it was. I attended Mass at least 6 days a week. I would go over to the convent and serve the nuns and then to the main church. I was the key guy. I helped train the other guys to get involved. I loved it. That's what I want to do. Be like that. I believe God had a calling on my life as a second grader, but not working it out until a 25-year-old. But a sense of being drawn. What he does. I didn't have biblical understanding, and that's not the conversation right now. It was just a sense of what that position was. That was a position before God and the people. A sense of respect. And then when I became a believer and when I started to read this, it was just like, is that what it says? My dream came true. I'm a priest. A priest goes, you know, before God. And now we have Jesus Christ. And we go directly to the Lord. As a priest would operate for the people, now we just go directly. And we go to the Lord for other people. Because we love them and we care about them. I was speaking to somebody that's our fellowship, they're on a vacation. They have a ministry opportunity. And it's a ministry opportunity with those that do not have a heart for the Lord. Not necessarily a rebellion against them, it's just not where they're at. And I says, one of the things I do is this. The Bible says, make it your aim to be pleasing to God. So I try to focus. My aim is to be pleasing to God. That's my aim. Not to try to get everybody to like me. It's to be pleasing to God. Make it my aim. And then I realize, regardless of their belief in God, God loves them. It doesn't change it. God loves them. Even though they may reject him, God loves them. God is love. He loves them. You start to meditate on that, and then it causes your heart to love them. Regardless of their opinion, you represent Christ. You're like a priest. You're bringing Jesus to them. Do you get it? And that's what happens. There's a sense of, I've been royally taken care of, and I can go to the throne to find mercy and grace in time of need, and I can bestow it. And then in verse 7, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So we know that if someone were to say to you, Jesus is here. Really? Where is he? He's in Blaine. Well, first of all, you know that's not going to happen, okay? I think the Lord will go somewhere else. But anyways, the idea is this, brothers and sisters, every eye will see. Every eye. When Jesus Christ makes his appearance, everybody's going to see him when that time comes. Everybody's going to see him. You say, well, what about the people in faraway countries, like the jungles, like people say, well, what about those people? But even look here. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You know, when you see him, it's the reality of God existed. No matter what your opinion was, there he is. It's the living God, the Almighty God, the powerful God, the revelation. There is God in human flesh. When I was in college, I lived in Los Angeles area. I went to Long Beach State University, but I worked for a company in downtown Los Angeles. It's an industrial area. And I unloaded trucks and reloaded them all up. And I learned at a young age how to work hard. And as I started to go in these jobs, which was, they were paying double the minimum wage and even a little bit more, they didn't care. The shift was the shift. So as fast or as hard as you want to work, you can do that, then you're done. And so I'd complete early, then I could study. And I was in college. I could do my work. But some of the other guys that were in the shop there, you know, they had their own little pace. So they saw I had free time. They'd send me out to go get hamburgers. I became like their errand boy. That was fine. Then it says, hey, instead of going out, I can cook hamburgers because I'm the owner of a hibachi. And I know you don't know what that is. You might know hirachis. Those are sandals. But I wear my hirachis and cook on my hibachi. Hibachi is just a little barbecue. How many of you know what a hibachi is? I lived in a 9x11 place in an alley. That was my stove. Little briquettes, hibachi. I'm set. So I bring my little hibachi and my VW, bring it there, and I says, guys, I'm cooking up tonight. So cook inside this plant, which now I'm thinking about all the chemicals that were in the plant, but back then, chemicals are probably affecting me. But anyways, so we're all set. And this became a little bit of a Friday night habit. Hey, the barbecue boy's here. Whatever you want to call me. I'm into it. Do it. But it was interesting. Because all of a sudden, Wes, that's the name of the boss who drives a fancy car. It's like 10 at night. Wes is here! Oh, my hibachi was just like so hot. And I just picked it up, was inside the plant, and I just went to the outside of the plant and I got rid of it and just, whoo, the boss is here! And we just cleaned it up really quick. Jesus Christ is coming. And when you realize he can come at any time, you want to clean it up right now. You just want to clean it up right now. He can be here at any time. You just want to clean it up. As a matter of fact, you know, some people, when they study the book of Revelation, they get all these new spiritual muscles. And I think it's kind of pathetic to me because they just want to, like, flex these new insights that they think they have from whatever they may be looking at. But here's how I look at it. It says in 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and we're kings and priests. This is 1 John chapter 3. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Jesus has revealed himself. Now listen, this is our last couple verses. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Amen. Look at that. Everyone who has this hope, he's been revealed. Revelation. We're revealing, the Bible's revealing Jesus. You knew him in the Gospels. Let me present him to you in Revelation. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming. He is coming. He's got a word for the church, but he's coming. He is coming back. He is going to set up his kingdom forever. Amen. We're looking forward to that time. He is coming. And when we have this hope, it's just like, respectfully, please, the boss is here. The Lamb is here. Jesus is here. Get this stuff out. I want to be ready for Jesus. Let's pray. The worship team's going to come up and we're going to have communion and a couple worship songs. But let's pray. Father, tonight as we begin just this word in your book, the revealing of Jesus, thank you for this word. And Lord, as we have communion, as we're able just to take the emblems and to think that you were with your disciples 60 years before we got this message in Revelation, and you said to them, the reason we have communion is to take account again of our walk with you, our walk with Jesus. Make right what is wrong. Ask for forgiveness of sin. And ask the Lord to work in and through your life. Believe him, not only to be your Savior and your Lord, but your deliverer, your provider, your everything. In Jesus' name, amen.